I really think that the hardest, most painful part of growing up with a narcissist and later marrying another narcissist was that constant invalidation. Now, just to be clear, when I say invalidation, what I'm talking about is emotional invalidation, which sounds innocent, right? But it's what happens when someone rejects or ignores or judges everything you say, everything you think, everything you feel. When we're talking about narcissistic parents, this is an ongoing issue that pretty much starts the minute you can talk. And even when you're involved in a romantic relationship with a narcissist for years, the same thing. It can still deeply affect you. Now, at first, if this person is a friend or especially a romantic partner, this will seem almost natural. I mean, you might find yourself sort of foregoing time with others for a while, voluntarily, and this is pretty normal up to a point at the beginning of a new relationship. But when you're dealing with a toxic narcissist, it isn't just that you're dealing with a normal sort of early relationship infatuation. Instead, something a lot more sinister is going on here. On a deeper level, whether consciously or not, the narcissist has a goal to isolate you from other people, both for the reasons I mentioned, as well as because it causes you to become more dependent on the narcissist. This ensures that not only will you stick around until they're done with you, but also that you'll be more easily controlled by the narcissist. And in so many cases, you might find yourself self-isolating as a result of emotional exhaustion, the kind that you deal with when you're constantly bombarded with narcissistic manipulation tactics and games they play with your head. Can you relate? Do you have a narcissistic spouse, friend, family member? No matter how hard you try, you just can't seem to get through to them. They always seem to have some issue with you. And even when you think you have finally figured it out, how exactly you're going to make everything okay for them or with them, they never fail to hurt and disappoint you. Sadly, despite your sincerity and your genuine desire to make them happy, they can't even seem to muster up a little politeness for you, much less actual love. You might even start to wonder if you're the problem. Well, I'm here to tell you that not only are you not the problem, but that the narcissist in your life is unquestionably the problem. You see, despite what a lot of people think, invalidation is actually one of the most damaging forms of emotional abuse. And this is especially true when it happens repeatedly over the course of time. Not only does it make you feel like you're not a real person or like you're a little crazy, but it'll leave you feeling constantly confused and full of self-doubt. On the other end of the spectrum here is validation, or accepting and recognizing that someone else's feelings and thoughts and ideas are worth hearing. They're understandable, they're legitimate. It doesn't mean unconditional acceptance of those ideas or thoughts. It just means that you don't automatically assume someone has nothing of value to say. In fact, it means accepting someone as a real person who is not less worthy or less valuable than yourself. And even someone who isn't a narcissist, let's say a normal person, might disagree and have a difference in opinion, but they can recognize the value still in the thoughts of other people. Plus, one of those normal people is likely to make an attempt to actually understand other people. In fact, they will try to even look at abnormal behaviors from a healthy place, a place of empathy. See, that's basic human nature, to try to sort of understand someone else's side of things. But when there's a narcissist involved, we're not exactly dealing with normal, are we? Instead, we're stuck with a walking, talking, human-like being who seems to have a giant hole in their soul. A narcissist isn't capable of true empathy, so it only makes sense that you can't expect them to validate you. In fact, as it turns out, invalidation is one of the hallmarks of emotional abuse. Sadly, there's a simple reason for that, in my opinion, and that is that the narcissist sees you as a possession or an object, a thing. You're just an extension of them, according to them. If the narcissist were to see you as equal to themselves, this would shatter their grand illusion. You know, the way they deceive themselves into thinking they're better than everyone else in the world? Yeah. Well, that, and because it's yet another way that the narcissist gaslights you and keeps you tightly in place in that narcissistic supply chain. And as if that wasn't enough, you might also develop crippling social anxiety during one of these relationships. Let's talk about the crippling fear, shame, and guilt related to narcissistic abuse that leads to self-isolation. You know how it feels when you're in a room full of people and then you still feel completely alone? If you can relate to that, then you might also be able to relate to the shame and the guilt and the fear and the embarrassment of being tortured by a narcissist. And if you're like most narcissistic abuse victims and survivors, you're not always going to feel comfortable discussing it with the people you're close to, not to mention anyone else, because if you're being honest, the truth is that even though you do your best to put on a good front and generally appear to be totally fine, even though you're totally capable of engaging in friendly conversation and you have good social skills, there is still this underlying feeling of isolation when you are in a relationship with a toxic controlling narcissist. One that feels a lot like a dull ache. You know it's there and you want to soothe it, but you also feel like you're really not equipped to do so. You feel like you just can't trust anyone, not even yourself sometimes, thanks to these months or years of gaslighting and manipulation. And listen, my friend, you're not alone here. So often, I hear this from my clients. They feel like they don't even know how to be vulnerable anymore, and they find themselves feeling really gun-shy, constantly on alert. Do you know how that feels? The painful truth is that a narcissist just can't love you back because they're not capable of actual love. In fact, while they might understand the concepts of love and empathy on some level, the truth is that they can't feel these things because in many cases, so many, the emotional development, it stops during toddlerhood for narcissists. And at best, you're probably looking at an emotional preteen. In any case, this lends to their extremely egocentric nature and their lack of concern for the feelings of you and anyone else. Without intense healing and therapy to address their core wound, as it were, narcissists will never be able to grasp the concepts of unconditional love or empathy for other people. Between the gaslighting, the narcissistic rage, and the narcissistic injury, not to mention the flying monkeys of it all, you can become pretty overwhelmed and lose yourself. And the truth is that all of the name-calling, verbal cut-downs, and narcissistic control that you're dealing with, well, it could be all placed under the umbrella of invalidation. So how do you recognize invalidation from a narcissist? Well, if you haven't ever taken the time to watch for it, you might not even realize that you're being invalidated. If you're anything like I was, you're likely to assume that you are the problem rather than your abuser. But it's important to recognize when it's happening because it is essentially the number one way that narcissists actively tear down your core self in order to keep you feeling off-balanced, confused, and plain old not good enough, all of which sadly makes you easier to control. It's my goal to help you take back your life though, so I want you to see it when it's happening, or at least to be able to recognize it in hindsight, because essentially, it's one more way the narcissist lies to you and gives you the wrong idea about who you are. And that's one of the hardest parts about going through narcissistic abuse. If you want to recover, you first have to recognize it, right? So in order to help you recognize it in your own life, here are some examples of what invalidation looks like. Number one, during a conversation. If you're having a conversation with a narcissist, you might notice that when it's your turn to talk, you only get grunts or a couple of words in response. Nothing that actually indicates the narcissist has heard you or understood you. Maybe even you just get a pause and a breath. You might notice that they're just waiting until it's their turn to talk again. They could actually care less about what's happening inside your head. They only want you to hear what they have to say. It doesn't really matter to them what you're thinking or feeling because as far as they're concerned, you're just an extension of themselves with nothing of value to share. I know it hurts, but it's true. That brings me to number two, how the narcissist feels about you. Did you ever ask a narcissist how they felt about you? Or has one ever volunteered that information to you? If you think back, you might recall that they would say things like, I love the way you make me feel. I really like how you always listen to me. I think it's great that you're always there when I need you. I love how you take care of me. I like how you rub my back or cook my food or whatever. Do you see how there was really nothing personally about you there? Nothing about you personally? Rather, the focus is all about what you do for them, not who you are. That's because the narcissist only really cares about what they can get from you, what you can do for them, not who you are as a person. It's always about the narcissistic supply for them. Narcissistic abuse really does take a toll on your whole life. See, emotional abuse, not to mention physical and even deeper forms of psychological abuse like gaslighting, can really teach us to shut up and stop talking about ourselves. And this leads to our becoming paralyzed in certain ways, one of which is developing that need to be alone. So we self-isolate, and even though we might feel lonely on occasion, we just feel safer this way, or at least we think we're less stressed. This will prove to be a false sense of peace on some level, since isolating ourselves can be dangerous for our physical and mental health. And I'm going to talk more about that in my next video, so make sure you're subscribed and hit the bell notification if you're interested. But the really messed up part of all of that is that if and when we do find the strength to leave the narcissist, we look around and we find out we're all alone. Our family might be estranged, our best friends have moved on, and we don't even have anyone to invite out for a cup of coffee. But how is it that the narcissist is able to have such power over you? Maybe you were previously the sort of person who had decent friends and at least a few connections. If you're anything like me, let's talk about the underhanded ways narcissists make us self-isolate. Just like other kinds of narcissistic abuse and manipulation, the narcissist rarely comes right out and says, listen, you need to dump everyone in your life in order to be with me, okay? In fact, they might even straight up tell you that they love your friends and family members. They might charm them and get them on their side even. And at first, the people in your life who go along with the narcissist and fall for their charm, they might be safe, especially if the narcissist can get them to team up with them against you. This might be a little joke at first, but the narcissist hopes for and sometimes gets a good flying monkey out of that deal. you know, someone who will assist them in smear campaigning later. But there will be many people in your life who initially or over time might admit to you that they don't really like the narcissist, or who actively challenge them, and narcissists don't like that. They might refuse to get the narcissist's bad jokes, or they might actively question them anytime they sense that the narcissist is lying to them or hiding details. Or there might be people who will act protective of you, you know, like that one friend who sweetly gets up in the narcissist's face the first time they meet him or her and says something like, "Listen, I really like you, but if you hurt my friend, I will rain down on you like the wrath of 1,000 bumblebees." Or whatever. Yeah, these people are a problem for the narcissist because not only might they point out that you are being emotionally and psychologically abused and or manipulated, but they might even help you stand up to the narcissist, and they might help you get away from them. Since this would obviously foil the narcissist's evil plan to dominate and control you, the narcissist sees this person and needs to eliminate them from the equation. And as I'm guessing you're painfully aware of by now, there's no level to which the narcissist will not stoop to get what they want. So how do you know if this is happening to you? I know, you're probably thinking it should be really obvious when it's happening, right? Well, it isn't. Not always, because narcissists can be very subtle and sneaky. And because narcissistic abuse is so pervasive and so confusing that sometimes you don't even know it's happening to you while you're in the middle of it. Unfortunately, I've never heard of a narcissist who has successfully changed, nor has anyone else I've ever interviewed or worked with in the past. The bottom line here is that when you love a narcissist, you love someone who is not capable of loving you back. And it hurts. It hurts down to your soul, causing a deep ache that is nearly indescribable. Loving a narcissist hurts in a way that most people will never truly understand. And that's part of the reason that when you try to discuss your relationship with people who haven't been there, they never seem to quite get what you're talking about. They'll either minimize your concerns or even try to help by offering more standard relationship advice, which unfortunately can be quite unhealthy for someone who's dealing with a narcissist in so many cases. For example, if you're feeling unheard in a healthier relationship, the standard advice might be to sit down and have a conversation about it, or to even go to counseling together to work it out. But if you do these types of things with a narcissist, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to use it as an opportunity to manipulate you and the counselor, given the opportunity, and this can just re-injure you and make you feel even more miserable. And that is exactly why I'm going to share with you today 5 things that narcissists will say and do to you to cause you to self-isolate during a toxic relationship. 1, you're my person. I'll always be there for you. If the narcissist is not a parent or a family member, the love bombing and idealization phase will be the stuff of legends and rom-coms alike. Believe it or not, one of the biggest ways non-family narcissists get you to self-isolate is by promising you that they'll always be there for you, and that they'll always have your back. It is often the first thing they will audibly say to you that will lead to this unfortunate situation. Why? Because a lot of people who end up in relationships with narcissists were also raised by toxic people and or suffered trauma during childhood. Well, that led to them feeling alone in the world. Without realizing it, this leads us to almost desperately seek someone who is willing to be our person, as in someone for whom we are the most important person in the world, in their lives at least. And whether or not this person is toxic because of our own issues developed in childhood, we are at tremendous risk of becoming codependent. This means that we grew up in such a way that we didn't feel loved and supported, and we're so happy and surprised that someone wants to be our person finally, that we allow ourselves to be seduced and hooked by the idea of it, which brings me to 2. This person doesn't like me, and you need to choose me or them. Oh yeah, the old me or them thing. The ultimate ultimatum that no one should ever have to deal with, sadly, is another common thing that narcissists say to make you isolate yourself from your family. Not only do they not want you to be with your friends, but they also don't want you to have anything to do with your family, especially when they might emotionally or otherwise support you. They will manipulate you into believing that your family and your friends don't seem to like them, or they will do something to make sure that's the case. And whether anyone they're pushing away actually said or indicated any issues with the narcissist, well, that won't really matter. The narcissist will literally say whatever they need to say to get your full and undivided attention, at least when and if they want it. Of course, if you don't immediately dump the offending person, the narcissist, without remorse, will pull out the old narcissistic injury card, and they'll tell you how hurt they would be if they were forced to leave you for not dumping this person. Now you're put in a position that leaves you with almost no choice, which of course brings me to number three. Your best friend did something awful. I just thought you should know. As you know, narcissists are pathological liars, and at times they are so good at it, they could even pass a lie detector test. That's because they have a very limited ability to empathize on a genuine level, and because they aren't likely to feel remorse. This is especially true when they feel upset and threatened, which they are bound to do when you're close to someone who isn't them. And your friends, especially your best friend, that person could be a serious threat to the narcissist's sense of control. That's why the narcissist will do the unthinkable to push them away. For example, they might make you isolate yourself from your friends by telling you that they're saying not so nice things behind your back. And you might believe them because since they'll focus this little campaign on your shortcomings and insecurities, you know. For instance, if you have a habit of laughing nervously, the narcissist will pick that up and not hesitate to tell you that your friends make fun of how you do that, how you laugh. And you can't help yourself at times, so you would immediately believe what the narcissist says. That's gonna make you cut your friends off. Or, and this is the worst if you ask me, they might make up a story about a specific friend. Might be a total lie, but the narcissist would throw in enough facts and so-called evidence that you'll at least doubt the person in question, if not totally fall for the lie. For example, they might say your best friend made an inappropriate move on them in some way. This will follow the narcissist having told you or your friend that they found this friend attractive. And then they might have started little innocent flirtations in front of you, and later confided to you that your friend made a comment that turned them on, or saw or heard something that otherwise got their attention from that person. Even if you don't believe it at first, it's gonna cause you to have little doubts about them in the back of your head, which will in the end cause you to pull away from them. And along with your own mind's ability to connect details and to feel protective of your relationship, this is gonna change the way you feel about your friend in the end. And that is going to lead to a moment of desperation in which you cut off contact, either directly or indirectly, and that's exactly what they want. You'll lose touch, and before you know it, you're not even friends anymore. Meanwhile, the narcissist is getting exactly what they want, you isolated and under their full control. That brings me to number four. Your family doesn't think much of you, do they? Whether your family is amazing and supportive or painfully toxic, the narcissist does not want them in the way. That's why they will often say things to you about how they notice your family doesn't respect you in any way, shape, or form. Or they'll say your family uses you, or that they just don't care about you at all. They'll have evidence about it, they'll say they've seen this before, and they'll point out little idiosyncrasies that you'll start to hyper-focus on if you're not careful, such as the way your mom's left eye twitches every time you talk about your relationship, or the way your sister rolls her eyes when you talk about your dream of writing the great American novel. And to really put the nail in this coffin, the narcissist will do their very best to exacerbate and exaggerate actual issues that you shared with them over time about different people in your family. They're going to amplify and magnify anything that you shared and actively cultivate your self-doubt and doubt in general, your anger, the feeling of betrayal, all that stuff. This will begin to poke at you over time, and the narcissist will keep pushing it. Maybe even blatantly lying and saying things that aren't true, like I said, or things that have just a whisper of truth to them, just enough, you know, such as pointing out how the family's always talking about you behind your back, and since you probably already know that, like every family talks about everybody behind their backs among themselves, you're going to assume that they're telling the truth. Why wouldn't you? What kind of person would want to intentionally push someone's family away from them? What kind of person would intentionally want to hurt someone that they claim they love? Yeah, that was a little sarcasm, but all joking aside, you will find yourself falling for this stuff, especially during the love bombing or idealization phase. If it happens later, you might even push the family away in order to show the narcissist how loyal you can be to them, or even to get them off your back. But only rarely will you consciously understand what is going on while it's happening, because the narcissist can be so sneaky and subtle in their manipulation. Speaking of which, that brings me to number five. I'm the only one who really loves you, you know. It's us against the world. Yeah, this kind of manipulation might look different in different parts of different relationships. For example, let's say the narcissist in your life is your spouse or partner, and they pulled you in with promises of having someone on your side, or of a soulmate, or whatever your version of that was. But ultimately, you were brought in thinking you were getting your dream person. They're gonna pull the old us against the world thing, which will initially feel really good to you because you're gonna feel like you belong somewhere, and like you're a part of something special, maybe for the first time in your life. Or if the narcissist was your parent or your parental figure, it looked more like, I'm the only person who really loves you, so you better do exactly what I want, or you risk being completely abandoned in the world. Love ya! In either case, it looks like if you don't do what I want you to do, you will be alone. And the narcissist knows instinctively that everyone's secretly afraid on some level of ending up completely alone and unloved in the world, whether we admit it or not. So in order to properly secure you as a source of narcissistic supply, they're gonna play on your very human fear of abandonment. And if you do happen to have a touch of codependency, this is gonna feel like a life or death decision, which the narcissist will seduce you into making before you even realize what has happened. The bottom line is that narcissists make you self-isolate for control, manipulation, and to secure you as a narcissistic supply. When you are dealing with a narcissist, chances are that you have put up with your fair share, if that's such a thing, of verbal and emotional abuse and manipulation from them, to say the very least. Maybe you have a narcissistic parent who favored your sibling and taught them how to torment you as well. Maybe they were all in it together. Maybe there's an aunt or an uncle or a cousin who's a narcissist, or you're married to one, or you're in some other way involved. You work with them, they're your neighbor, whatever. But in any case, whoever the narcissist is in your life, whoever they happen to be, you probably already know by now that you absolutely cannot trust them. A narcissist will never have your best interest at heart, even when they're your parent or your spouse. And that's because they are completely and only focused on their own needs being met at any given moment. Your needs don't even come second. They literally do not concern themselves with what you want or need at all, unless it benefits them to do so. So now that you understand all of that, I'm going to share with you 7 reasons that narcissists just have to hurt you. Number 1, repeated episodes of abuse and manipulation. Narcissists are creatures of habit and they are quite predictable. Sometimes you might even wonder if they have a narcissist playbook, because they all seem to have nearly identical patterns. If you're dealing with a romantic partner who is a narcissist, you might have initially thought they were your soulmate. After all, it seemed like everything they liked, you liked, and they seemed to want the same things as you, and they just seemed like they totally got you. And if it was a friend or a family member, you may have initially assumed that they had your best interests at heart, or at least that they loved and cared about you unconditionally. But as time went on and life happened, guess what? You saw that it was far from the case, as you began to see their true narcissistic colors. Narcissists treat you terribly, and they will condemn you in a heartbeat if it serves them to do so. Even looking at them the wrong way seems to provoke them into a narcissistic rage. As one of their primary sources of narcissistic supply, you also become an emotional garbage dump for them. They will take out their anger on you, and they'll take out their frustration on you, whether or not it's related to you. And they'll do it over and over again. But you don't walk away, because you love them. It hurts to love someone who is abusive to you and who is cruel to you in every way. That brings me to 2, narcissists kill your dreams. Despite the narcissist's best efforts, something in you secretly or otherwise has desires and things you want to make happen in your life. In other words, you have dreams and you have wishes just like everyone else. Let's say, for example, you have this desire to move to some tropical island after you retire. You scrimp and you save to make this happen, but rather than supporting you and being there for you, the narcissist just doesn't hesitate to start laughing at you and telling you you're living in a fantasy world or whatever. Even though they don't support your dreams and they do actually the opposite of that, something in you believes them. You think, maybe I am just being immature, imagining stuff that really isn't possible. Ultimately, though, the narcissist's negativity is enough to often destroy any hope that you have for the future, and that hurts like hell. That brings me to 3, the relationship is far from reciprocal. You might find yourself giving everything you have to the narcissist, and that they just take, and also take. They never give back. They almost literally can't give back, and if you ask a narcissist to do you a favor in any way, they'll only do it if there's something in it for them. So they might do you a favor, but only under certain circumstances that benefit them. They have to get something out of it, or they most definitely will not do anything for you. And of course, these conditions are often not ones that you can realistically meet. For instance, if you ask them to watch the child that you have together for, I don't know, an hour or two so you can go to the salon, he'll say, sure, I'll do it, but under one condition. And it's something much bigger than you're asking for. Here it goes. So maybe they want to go on a trip with their friends for a week. And that means you will be the single parent to the child while they are having fun for a week with their friends. And they probably won't even call you while they're gone unless they call at the exact moment they know you're too busy to deal with them. And then they're going to complain that you never talk to them when they call and say you don't love them enough. And this will lead you to yet another episode of you bending over backwards to prove your love for them, all while managing the house and the kid and the pets alone. Meanwhile, they're sitting on the beach laughing with their friends about how they've got you wrapped around their little finger. Yeah. Anywho, this brings me to my next point. 4, your needs always come last with a narcissist. You are always having to put the narcissist's needs ahead of your own. And whether you intend to do so or not, you most definitely have to put your needs on the back burner if you're in a relationship with a narcissist. In fact, if this narcissist is a family member, you might not even be fully aware that you're allowed to have needs and wants. The narcissist makes it very clear that they are superior to you, above you, so much so that they literally will not allow you to take care of yourself at all in some cases because their needs and their wants come first always. Not only is this emotionally, physically, and otherwise exhausting, but you often end up feeling guilty for even wanting to take a shower or even to like go to the doctor when you're not feeling good. Personally, I remember feeling guilty for wanting or needing anything in my own toxic relationships, and this brings me to my next point. Number 5, narcissists are boundary busters. The narcissist doesn't care if you have boundaries or rules. In fact, they actually feel like you're not allowed to make choices for yourself in many cases. They do not take you or your boundaries seriously at all. In fact, they're going to walk all over you without a second thought, actively and intentionally crossing your boundaries one by one. Of course, since you love them, you tolerate it, but you don't recognize that over time, your boundaries are pushed so far back that they're almost entirely gone. For example, if you're married to a narcissist and they suddenly become best friends with someone they are clearly and painfully attracted to, and you can tell this based on the way they act around that person and about that person, you might have a real and understandable problem with this. But instead of understanding that they are crossing an obvious boundary that any married person would have an issue with, the narcissist will tell you to stop being so jealous and insecure, and they'll say that if you are going to accuse them of cheating on you, well, my goodness, they might as well just go ahead and do it, despite the fact that you have never accused them of anything but just question this so-called friendship. Of course, they also have double standards, so you won't be allowed to have a similar best friend. And that brings me to number 6, smear campaigns and secrets spilled. If you were to go against the narcissist's wishes, or if you go no contact with them, then they won't hesitate to go out of their way to ruin your reputation, and often your life. They will share private information about you that could even be damaging to you through social media or other avenues, and then they will even do stuff like contact your boss and tell them all the reasons why they should fire you. And of course, when it comes to secrets, no matter how much they swear they're going to keep them under wraps, you gotta know that you can never confide anything serious in a narcissist and expect confidentiality. Even if you didn't let them down like they thought you were going to or whatever, and they don't decide to conduct a smear campaign, they'll still leak out those secrets, especially if those secrets give them the key to the narcissistic supply they need in some way. You know, attention or whatever. Narcissists have no integrity. You always want to make sure that if you are confiding in someone, it's someone you can trust, and a narcissist never fits that bill. That brings me to number 7, narcissists are big fat liars. They are pathological liars. We know this to be a fact. They will never be truthful about anything unless it happens to benefit them in some way. Sometimes they lie just for the sake of lying. Nope, I'm not kidding. If you're dealing with a narcissist, you might as well always assume that whatever they tell you isn't true, or at the very, very least, you need to take everything they say with a grain of salt. Never expect honesty from a narcissist. They're always going to feed you lies, so just remember you cannot trust them. Bottom line here is that no matter what, we know for a fact that it hurts to love a narcissist. Remember this, even if they promise not to hurt you, they most definitely will. They absolutely do not have your best interest at heart, and many of them have no idea what that even means. Narcissists not only cannot love you back, but they leave you feeling battered, drained, and depressed. You'll feel anxious, you'll feel worthless, you'll feel like you're not even a real person in some cases. Obviously, the best thing you can do for yourself is to go no contact and break things off, or go low contact if you must remain connected due to sharing kids or business together. We all know that's not always possible, but that is the ideal solution. But my friend, you've got to take care of yourself, because the narcissist never will. Not in the way that you deserve. And what you deserve, in case you forgot, is to be loved in the same way that you love. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to live in a home where you don't feel fear and anxiety every time they're around or their tires hit the driveway. You deserve to have a life that you love. Please don't forget. You matter. Here's the hard part, and it seems a little counterintuitive, but you gotta stick with me here. You've gotta figure out a way to not take it personally. Now, don't get me wrong, I know it hurts, and it most definitely is a personal attack, but the thing is, it's not really ever about you, it's really about their own shortcomings. Now, of course, I wanna tell you that you shouldn't care or even feel offended by it. I mean, it's just the narcissist's way, right? That's how they treat everyone, right? Well, that would be the case if we didn't seem to always catch the narcissist appearing to genuinely connect with other people when they're more of a brick wall when it comes to understanding you. That brings me to my next point, number 3, connections to other people. I can't tell you how many times, in tears, I literally would say to my ex-husband, could you please just be nice to me? Being with a narcissist can feel very lonely at times, and it's frustrating to watch your abuser be nice to other people when they can't even be polite to you, much less kind. Worse, they seem to actually have some sort of empathy for them, and yet if you even dare bat an eyelash the wrong way in regard to those people, the narcissist will tell you how those people feel. Yeah. And still, when it comes to you, the narcissist, they seem completely blind. They have no idea what you're talking about, as far as you can tell anyway. But then you start to wonder, what's so bad about me? Am I really as, insert insulting lie here, crazy, lazy, ugly, stupid, etc., as the narcissist says I am? Do I really deserve to be treated this way? No one else in my life seems to think I'm that bad. Why this person? Listen, if you're there, you're on the right track. Let's talk about why the narcissist invalidates us in the first place. See, by devaluing and disregarding you with those subtle little behaviors, the narcissist gets something out of it for sure. You, emotionally devastated and behaving like the good little narcissistic supply they've always needed. But if you think this is going to improve how you're treated, you're sadly mistaken. See, once you've been properly molded into the ideal person the narcissist wants, you're going to hope that they will finally be happy with you. And while you might not notice that you're more concerned about their happiness than your own, which, by the way, is a problem in itself, you figure if you don't make any mistakes and you do what they want, it'll all be okay. But sadly, the happiness you're hoping for is never going to quite arrive. And if it does, it's going to be fleeting. That's because the more you try to become perfect for the narcissist, the more they lose respect for you. Over time, they're going to have you believing that you're not even an actual human who deserves to be treated with even the most basic dignity. And you're going to find yourself acting in kind if you're not careful, as you desperately seek to justify it to yourself with thoughts of personal change and self-sacrifice if you're anything like me. You're going to rack your brain for all the ways you can change to elicit change from them. But listen, my friend, here's the thing. None of that is going to matter unless both of you are willing to give. You can only change so much without any reciprocation at all. Compromise means two parties come to a mutually agreeable solution in which both parties get what they want, or some version of that. Otherwise, it's just you giving and giving and giving, and them taking and taking and taking until they completely drain you. And you, my friend, you deserve better. You are just as important as anyone else in the world. Your thoughts, your ideas, your experiences, they are valid and they matter and they are worth having, worth hearing. Please don't forget that. I'm going to add a very brief clip of another video for you to give you a little bit more information on building yourself back up. And I'll be right back here to see you afterwards, so stick with me. Take a look. So if you did go through a toxic relationship, you spent a lot of time with a narcissist or a toxic person of any sort, chances are you have been conditioned to think a certain way. This might have started in childhood. It might have started during an adult relationship. But either way, your mind has been conditioned by someone else. And in some cases, you may have sort of self-conditioned in order to manage and cope with the things you were going through. But the thing is that what we actually are doing when we are allowing conditioned thinking to continue, when we allow ourselves to continue to think and feel and believe the things that we were conditioned to think and feel and believe, or what we think other people expect of us, we're actually kind of carrying around a lot of burden that we don't need. For example, there's a story of two guys walking down the street and it's raining, it's pouring. And there's a lady standing there screaming, and they walk up to her and they say, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she says, oh my gosh, I just got these brand new shoes. And they're really expensive. And I can't walk across the street because look at all the puddles. Like, there's nowhere for me to walk safely. I need somebody to carry me across the street, please, right now. And so the younger one was like, nope. And the older one was like, well, whatever. Let me just carry her across the street, helped her out. She didn't even say thank you. And later that night, they were hanging out. And the younger guy looks at the older guy and says, why did you carry that woman across the street? She didn't even say thank you. Why would you do that? And the older guy says, look, dude, I put her down hours ago. Why are you still carrying her? It's conditional thinking. Now, think back to when you were a kid. Think back to your young adulthood. Whatever happened during that time would have started to condition you, would have conditioned you to believe certain things. Whatever happened in your toxic relationship would have conditioned you to believe certain things. Now, I'm going to include a link for you to a playlist right here and right there that's going to help you really take this to the next level so that you can really start to take back your power and find within yourself the strength that you might not even realize is in there still. So make sure you don't miss that playlist here and in the pinned comment below. All right, now this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, do you think that validation was one of the biggest things missing in your relationship with a narcissist? Do you find that you ever kind of forget who you are, or that you ever did forget who you were as a result of a relationship with a narcissist? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm going to leave for you here and there. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button right over there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.